Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. Here's another little nugget of truth from the Word of God, which is today taken from Isaiah and chapter 9. In verse 6, we hear familiar words, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." Now, here is something that is absolutely stunning and absolutely wonderful, and I want to share it with you, and I don't know if I have the vocabulary or the ability to do it, but I'm going to try, because it's outstanding. This light is shining. Jesus is the light of the world, as we've seen before in our short studies here. Will you see with me that this year's Christmas is one more link in the now almost completed chain of years between the manger, which was, and the royal daybreak, which is to come? It's yet to be. His coming is at hand, when the government shall be upon his shoulder. All the earth shall sing the song of the Bethlehem angels. In Ephesians 1 and verse 10, the gathering together in one of all things which are in heaven, which are on the earth, even in Jesus. All things. All things. There is nothing created that's been created unless it was created with Jesus. And Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. No other person has ever been resurrected. And we are resurrected because he gave us life. Notice he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, yet even though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Shall never die. Dear friend, if you're frightened about dying, if you contemplate in the memories of past Christmases and you're alone and you think about suicide, I have great news for you. You'll never die. So don't bother with suicide. Jesus may come before you can lift your hand against yourself. Jesus has promised to change your life into one of light, life and liberty. The Lord Jesus has said, "Come unto me, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will always be with you." That's how we have peace, peace with God, peace that passes our understanding and ability to understand. Way beyond our ability to understand, he never leaves us. When we gather together in one, the Lord Jesus, of all things which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in Jesus, when we gather together in such a manner, it is a great honor and privilege. We gathered together at Thanksgiving as a family, and we got together. Part of our family was missing. They lived too far away. But some of us got together, and it was just lovely to be there, to see little children, now the great-grandchildren, and to see the gathering together of our children now in their 50s. And it was wonderful to see how they had grown in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Wonderful to observe how the Lord had led them and never left them. And although they were deprived many times of a father, because I was so busy trying to do the Lord's work, seeking to be used of God, and if there was opportunity here, there, or anywhere, whether it be in parts of the world that I'd only dreamt and read about, or whether it was in my own backyard, in my own village, in my own grouping, wherever it was, I was so busy. And I regret in many ways allowing myself to get so busy, for sometimes we get too busy to pray. These children of mine were never without my prayers, never without my love, and I was so thrilled to sit down with them and to listen to them pray over Thanksgiving and thanking God for each member of the family and thanking God for the food on the table and thanking God for just being there and for being their Lord God Almighty. What a gathering that was. And soon Christmas will come and we're not sure what we're going to do. But if it snows, we're going to invite a whole load of people to the house. And I hope they'll bring a lot of food. And I hope we'll sit around and tell stories and listen to one another. And maybe we might even sing. Whatever we're going to do, whatever God has planned for us, we will try to do it in Him. Well now, consider this past year. Did the Lord Jesus Christ govern each day that you lived? Are there any thorns of conscience to mark and make the memory bleed or regret? Are there so many golden deeds that we only feel complacent? Are there ugly ghosts which we would fain smother to oblivion? Can we say, I have refrained my feet from every evil way? There was a prayer that a butler, he was Pharaoh's butler, and he prayed, and he said, do I remember my faults this day? You have to go to Genesis 41 and verse 9 for this. Do I remember my faults this day? The butler's memory was sadly neglected. He remembered that he had forgotten. He remembered what we ought to forget, and forgetting what we ought to remember. It's a common fault. We forget vows. We forget answers to prayer. We forget blessings, common and uncommon. But you see, the butler's real fault was omission, a promise he omitted to fulfill. Joseph has said, when you come to this new position that you get yourself in, please remember me. Oh, I'll never forget you. You've been so kind to me. I'll never forget you. You've been just wonderful to me. How many times people have said that to one another? How many times people have said it, and at that moment they've meant every word and syllable that they've enunciated, and yet they forget. They forget a kindness omitted to repay. It seems a shame to me that we do this, because such faults reveal our sinfulness more than open transgressions. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James wrote this in the 4th chapter of his epistle in the 17th verse. If you look back over the years, so many times we've omitted to do things we said we'd get done, and we never did get it done. You see, the fault that this butler remembered was very personal. He had omitted to do what only he could do. For one who had been so badly treated, are there things we should have done which now will never be done because we failed? I'm asking these questions to dislodge your mind, to get you thinking about your own life and having a look in the mirror. You see, the butler's language, listen to this. He says, my faults. He admits he's got faults. I do remember my faults this day. Genesis 41 and verse 9. I do remember this. I remember I've got problems. I don't like the word problem, because a problem is a soluble thing. But he had made an honest omission, and he had made a promise, and he didn't keep it. He didn't keep it. He says, my faults. This day, after 2 years, he remembers his faults of 2 years ago. Maybe you've got something like this cooking in your language and cooking in your heart, and it's been sort of sealed over with all sorts of thoughts, and you've managed to excuse yourself from being silly. I say this to you with love, that this butler not only remembered, but also regretted. And the good thing is that he confessed and he resolved to put things right. Have you ever done that? Have you done that? Years ago, there was someone who confronted me with something that he never mentioned what it was. And I begged him, I said, tell me what it is that you're telling me about. Let me have room to repent so that I can ask your forgiveness. His last words to me that I recall, if you don't know what's been going on, I'm not going to tell you. And he turned on his heel and left. Well, that's a sadness. I've never been able to put right what was wrong because I don't know what was wrong. And to this day, I don't know what's wrong. But he is a coward, as all people are. But this particular man had a fault. He said, I've got a fault and I've put you out of my memory. This man may have put me out of his memory. I don't know. But it's a fault that we have. And we need to be careful. You see, this is very personal. He had omitted to do what only he could have done, to recommend to someone that Joseph was still in prison, he was innocent of the accusations, and he should be set free. But he hadn't done that. He was very grateful for his own freedom, but he hadn't done that. Now notice how precious such words are, as in the first epistle of John, the first chapter, the 7th verse, if we confess our sins, who is faithful to forgive our sins, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus will do that. And then it's done. And then it's done. In whom we have the forgiveness of sins. The Lord Jesus. Look at Ephesians 1:17. The same teaching comes out, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. God says, you come to me, you confess your sin, you are cleansed, because I've already cleansed you. I've already forgiven you. I've already loved you into eternity. And now if you die, you will not die, you will go simply into eternity and forever be with the Lord. That's the teaching. You see, Joseph recognized the need for government in his day. Genesis 41, in verse 33, we discover Joseph needed to be recognized, a man discreet and wise. He is called both discreet and wise. And so the Lord Jesus is discreet and wise. He says, your sins, if they're not covered with my blood, if they're not forgiven because of your lack of confession, you can be sure of this, that your sins will be announced from the housetops and from the windows of high buildings. People will talk. Now, not everything that is talked about is sin. But people will make it sin, and the wrong shall be in their eyes right. And it's a great terrifying thing that we set off if we're not discreet and wise. A man in whom the Spirit of God is. Verse 38 of Genesis 41 tells us this. The Spirit of God was in Joseph. All things are delivered unto me, both in heaven and in the earth, said the Lord Jesus. When did he say it? After resurrection, he came back and he said, peace be unto you, because the disciples were terrified. And Jesus simply said to them, don't be terrified. Don't do that. This is what I've come for. I've come to tell you a great news bulletin is here. All things are delivered unto me. So if all things are delivered into the hand of the Lord Jesus, you can be sure of this, that by putting your trust in the one whom God trusts, his only begotten Son, you'll be doing a very wise thing. Here is another thought that you might think about. In verse 42, we read a man with the royal seal like a dove descending, angels ministering, angels receiving, a voice from heaven. When Jesus was born, all of this took place, all of it. And you can understand how it is that the Word of God teaches us that we need to be listening to what Jesus says, because what he says, it seals our future. Now, our future is locked up in Jesus. Soon we're going to see him face to face. Soon we're going to walk in the streets of gold. Soon we're going to be gathered together in his name. Soon all these things that distract us and distress us will be pushed to one side and all done with completely. And we shall be new creatures with a new body and a new mind and a new heart. And we shall be forever with the Lord Jesus. We'll be able to sit down and be in constant loving care with him. Let me take you one step further. You see, him whose name means the revealer of secrets, to whom secrets are revealed. This was Joseph. His name just simply meant God reveals secrets to him. Jesus said this. He said, "The coming of the Lord is not known by anybody but the Father who is in heaven, and he will reveal that time to those that seek him." It doesn't mean that if you immediately drop what you're doing and you say, "Lord, please, let me seek you and let me know when you're coming back to this earth." That's not the meaning at all. The meaning is simply this, that God will reveal secrets to those that seek him. But you're not going to know the day nor the time that Jesus is coming again. And there is reason for this. God has it locked away in his plan. In his plan. Now, everybody in this world has the opportunity to have peace. The revealer of secrets has revealed that to all of us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're loving the Lord Jesus, you're a saint, and you know that God reveals to you wonderful things. "Never man spake," said the people around, "as this man speaks." Speaking of Jesus, they were trying to trap him. They said, "Shouldn't we give to Caesar?" They wanted him to say, "No, don't give to Caesar. Put it in a different fund. Get a tax relief," or something like that. Jesus said, "Give me a coin." He said, "Whose image is on the coin?" Why, they said, "Caesar's image is on the coin." And Jesus quietly looked at them and said, "Well, give to Caesar, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. What's your problem? Pay your taxes. However, give to God what belongs to God." What was he talking about? Bring that heart of yours and let the scrubbing, wondrous, detergent value of the blood of Jesus cleanse you from all sin. Give to God. What's the least and the most that you can give to him? Your life. Will he call you to go to a foreign field as a missionary, or will he leave you as a missionary in this community now? How will you stand? Dear friend, you can stand in the presence of Jesus because the secret is revealed to you. The needs of the heart now are not to be measured or compared with the needs of your heart in eternity, because you don't know what eternity is like. But eternity is filled with Jesus. And I believe this, and be it ever so simple, that when I go to eternity, I shall spend so much of my eternity with the Lord Jesus that he will captivate the rest of my time in eternity. And eternally I shall live in his presence. And I shall be protected by his presence and loved by his presence. I know I shall be kept in his presence. I know that my body will be changed into the likeness of his body, and I shall have no more pain and no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more dying, no more tears. I know that's all going to be wiped away. How thrilling that is. Now, I must confess, I'm not sure that I shall meet up with all sorts of the saints of old and the dear ones in my family that have gone before me. I don't know that there will be any need to meet these people, but there will be my need to trust and just be in Jesus. So I put on his life, and his life is filling my life, and I live for him. There was a famine in the land in Joseph's time, and now we cannot compare that famine to the one that is now. The Lord Jesus is plenty, but we have a drought in the land. They say the Loch Ness Lake is smaller than Summer Lake in the middle of Oregon. The difference is that the water that goes into Loch Ness in Scotland, where the Loch Ness Monster is supposed to live, they say that it's 36 miles long and it's about 18 miles wide. And if you travel along, as I do nearly every other Sunday of the year, to preach down in Paisley at the southern end of Summer Lake, if you go down there, it's more than 36 miles long and more than 20 miles wide, so it's bigger than Loch Ness. But the difference I've seen in that lake, I once saw it when the water was lapping at the edge of the road, and now that's gone so far back, it looks as if you could almost walk across what is called the lake, and you'd be walking mostly, by the look of things, on alkali. Such is the drought. And I am saying to you this, though the measurements of man have never changed, man is empty of spiritual blessing because he is so filled with the drought in his soul. When a man's soul is filled with drought, he cannot breathe, he is choked by nothing. And it's a dreadful thing. It's a dreadful thing that takes place and tends to suffocate and ruin what's left. My faults I remember, said the butler. You see, the Lord Jesus, we're told, will have the government upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Don't run these into one another. Don't allow your English to get distorted into American and turn nouns into adjectives. Jesus is not a wonderful counselor. He is counselor. He is wonderful. He is a counselor. And he is the one that can show you the rest of the way, because he's mighty God, he's everlasting Father. And here we return to the beginning of the chapter. He is the Prince of Peace. Have you received this Prince of Peace into your daily life in such a way that you're filled with the presence of Jesus Christ the Lord? I hope so. I pray so. Let it be so. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that as we anticipate Christmas, we shall anticipate celebrating the birth of Jesus with new vision, that light may shine upon our thinking, the light of God that comes from God and shines through the darkness of the darkness of this world. Lord, we ask you, illuminate us, that we may have that effulgence of his glory, that brilliance, that beauty, that fullness of your spirit, that we may live for Jesus and Jesus only, that his light shall shine in us. Give us the ability to show that to our families and loved ones this Christmas. Lord, bless us all at Christmas, that we may remember Christ was born this day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I wish you a very happy Christmas. I wish you wonderful blessings upon this day. May God bless you as you anticipate shining for Him. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. God bless.